this one for all the ladies. H-Town Boys. Kicking it with my boy Luke. For the 9-3.
Aren't we supposed to be playing this like on Friday? Not on a Wednesday night?
I don't know. I guess Chilly Willie is just trying to set the tone here. I don't know how Ira Winderman's going to feel about this.
You're going to start me going through my phone and texting people now.
Hey, we are back here on the Hawk and Crowder Show. Greg Likens, Brian Monroe filling in on this Wednesday. Hope everybody's doing well. We have been talking all about Russell Westbrook and what could potentially be for this Miami Heat team. For more on that, we're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. We can shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. That is where Ira Winderman, who covers the Miami Heat for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, is joining us as he's out in Vegas covering the Summer League. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Ira Heatbeat. Ira, good afternoon to you. How's everything going today?
Well, Greg and Brian, I'd say everything is going fine until I wake up this morning, I go online, I see a Google alert that says NBA insider said Heat on verge of Russell Westbrook trade. So I figured I better click on that. That's my job to check on these things. And I got to hand it to QAM because the story on Bleacher Report said NBA insider Ira Winderman told WQAM's Kevin Rogers tonight that he believes the Heat have a strong chance to get Russell Westbrook. So I basically clicked on to read something I said in a different way 12 hours earlier. I love the internet.
Oh, my goodness. So last night you're on with K-Raj, and you said that, and now it's become fodder for everyone.
And the way it's tweeted out there, NBA Insider, I'm like, oh, Jerry West must have said this. Pat Riley must have said this. And so imagine the disappointment of Ira Winderman to realize Ira Winderman said it.
Well, yeah, don't sell yourself short, Ira.
We're going to need some Ira bombs, man. That's what we're going to have to do for you.
Yeah, there we go. By the way, Ira, we did spare you a little bit. I don't know. When Hawk and Crowder return next week, I'm sure they'll have your intro music like normal, but we're just going to we're gonna do it this way today as we're the substitute teachers.
I appreciate it greatly because it kind of works with Hawk on there, but with anyone else, like, yeah, what the heck is this? So I owe you guys a biggie.
Okay, good. Well, we're all on the same page there. With that being said, I mean, I don't know if we can do better than what you said to K-Raj last night, but what is the latest you're hearing on the Russell Westbrook front?
Well, there's two things. Let's face it, guys, when the Heat goes this far down the road with something that is tangible and possible, I honestly don't remember the last time it didn't happen. From Pat Riley and Alonzo Mourning, Pat Riley and Shaquille O'Neal, Pat Riley and LeBron James. Now, you might say to me, wait a minute, what about Hayward and what about Durant? But those were long shot cases when the Heat didn't have the money. And we're competing against the Warriors for Durant and Gordon Hayward's college coach and Brad Stevens for Gordon Hayward. But in something like this, it seems to me the lesson I've learned in my three decades of covering the Heat, especially with Pat Riley over the last 25, is where there's smoke, there's usually fire with Pat. And every single person I spoke to in the gym yesterday at UNLV and I asked them what they thought, they all thought that, yeah, three things are lining up. The Heat want Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook wants out of the Thunder after the Paul George trade, and the feeling is that after Russell Westbrook stayed for 11 years, that the Thunder will do right by Russell Westbrook and send him where he wants to go, and Russell Westbrook wants to go to Miami. So there's really, sort of like with Jimmy Butler, there's a whole bunch of things really seems to be aligning themselves.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So we all hear the rumblings. I don't want this player to go. We could give him this player. We don't want to give this player. If it does happen, it's going to be a two-part question. Realistically, what do you think that he will have to send back? And do you think there's any guys on this team that are untradeable?
I don't think there are, to go the second part first, any untradeable players because this team is not dominant enough where there's one player, I guess other than Jimmy Butler, who is untradeable because he can't be dealt till December 15th, not that he's going to be dealt anyone from outsiders who's listening and says what I just said, so let's put that aside. So I think any other player, yeah, I think when you're in the Heat's position, you can't say, we're not going to do a blockbuster because of Justice Winslow or Bam Adebayo or Tyler Hero. I would prefer if they didn't, especially Adebayo and Hero, but I don't think he can draw a line. So I think it comes down to your first question is this. Who has the upper hand? In every trade, there's a party that has the upper hand. Is it the Thunder because they have a six-time All-Star walking triple-double machine? Or is it the Heat because of Westbrook still being owed $170 million over the next 4 years as a 30-year-old player and as someone who you know is trying to force his way out? I think the Heat will not have to pay a dollar on the dollar. I think they can get some value. I think they could offload some contracts like Dragic and maybe Myers-Leonard to give cap relief to the Thunder. And I think it might only take one prospect. And I think if the Heat have to do it, I'll tell you guys who I would make it. I would make it Justice Winslow for this reason. Justice Winslow has shown he is the best Justice Winslow when he's on the ball, when he was playing point guard when Goran Dragic was out. Well, if you're going to have Jimmy Butler dominating the ball, and we all know the degree that Russell Westbrook dominates the ball, I don't think Justice Winslow would be the same player with the Heat if he stays, because he'd be playing off the ball. He wouldn't be his best Justice Winslow. So I think I would try to force or focus a trade, rather, around something like Dragic, Myers-Leonard, Justice Winslow, and then tweak it from there.
Ira Winterman, who covers the Miami Heat for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, joining us here on 560 WQAM. Along those same lines, Ira, I know that early this past season there were the reports about the Timberwolves potentially trading Jimmy Butler to the Heat. He ultimately goes to the Philadelphia 76ers. At the time, the sticking point was Josh Richardson. I know we're not talking about him anymore since he's off to Philadelphia, but do you think the Heat have learned from that where they weren't willing to part with Richardson and now they're more open-minded?
Yeah, again, I never look back at a previous deal and say how it can impact a future deal, because teams change. The Heat didn't make the playoffs. They might be what you might call a little bit more desperate. So I'm trying to gauge a couple of things. They really like Bam Adebayo. I don't think that's phony building up his value. However, it is very curious that at this moment we talk, the Heat have yet to sign Tyler Hero. You cannot trade a signed draft choice for 30 days. Not that that 30 days would get in the way of anything long term, but it still is curious. So every day when I go to the gym for Summer League, I wonder this. Are the Heat developing Tyler Hero because they want a game-ready player in October? Or are they sort of showcasing him that, hey, we got this guy with number 13. He's immediately trade available. What do all you other guys think as we showcase him in our game? So I find that a little bit curious. But I would be glad to move forward with sort of a dichotomy on my roster. Let's have the older players of Westbrook and Butler living in the moment, but how nice would it also be to have coming up through the pipeline, so to speak, Bam Adebayo, Derrick Jones Jr., and Tyler Hero as the next rendition of the team. So I think you could possibly have it both ways.
Now, speaking of the Summer League, you brought up Tyler Hero, and it's so funny how the fans' perspective has changed in a couple weeks from a couple Summer League games. What has Tyler Hero done out there that has changed everybody's mind and the coaches and the front office that I'd love to see from him right now playing?
It's that he's been more than a shooter. And this has been a problem in recent years at Kentucky because John Calipari and sort of at Duke also have done such a good job of recruiting that they don't need the ultimate dominant player. Remember the days when there were so many contenders in college basketball that every team would have its one superstar? And can that one player carry their team to an NCAA championship, whether it's Grant Hill or whether it's Karl Anthony Towns or Anthony Davis? What's happening now at Kentucky, because they start four or five five-star guys, everyone is just asked to do their specialty. So Tyler Hero was asked to be a shooting specialist. So it wasn't until he comes to Summer League in the Heat that you can go, wow, that guy can handle. Wow, that guy can pass. Wow, that guy might have short arms, but he's really dogged on defense. So I think you're getting to see more of a complete player than honestly I saw in Kentucky. And that's why these NBA scouts start scouting these guys in middle school, in high school, and in AAU. Because it's in those forums that you get to see a little more of their overall game. I think a lot of what sold the Heat on Tyler Hero came before his lone season at Kentucky.
You're telling me it wasn't like his swag and the way he dressed is the reason why they wanted to bring in the Heat?
Well, I believe as Greg and the young kids say, I don't think his drip hurt either. But I don't think they drafted him on his draft night suit. And look, Pat, I'm probably closer in age to Pat than the kids these days. And I love what Pat said in his introduction. The first thing we're doing is burning his suit. So it lets you know what Pat thinks of his drip.
Ira Winterman covers the Miami Heat for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Maybe some fashion in there as well, depending on what the beat calls for. Ira, we obviously have been discussing at length the Russell Westbrook trade possibility.
Sure.
You wrote about this. It is a bit ironic that Adam Silver yesterday described the NBA player trade demands as disheartening as the Heat attempt to pull this off.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the Heat do. The Heat have been great at creating distress property somewhere else where all of a sudden a guy wants to get out of there. We saw this back with Shaq and Kobe, of course, Alonzo Mourning wanted to get away from the ownership. Remember the Goran Dragic situation, the get me out of here, and how they got Dragic in February 2015. It's almost like the sort of people like the Russian influencer on the internet trying to create bad situations so you can swoop in there. Pat Riley has done an excellent job at distressed property by waiting to see where there's trouble and then pouncing on the moment. What Adam Silver wants is stop complaining, guys. You're earning good money. You're getting treated well. Stop with these trade demands. But you know what, guys? We learned our lesson this year. Anthony Davis did force his way out. We learned our lesson last year. Kawhi Leonard did force his way out. So now that you know when a player starts threatening, get me out of here, that it's real, that's what Pat Riley does. He goes, oh, you have distressed property. It's like what I mentioned before. You can get someone for pennies on the dollar. Why wouldn't you? I don't see how Adam Silver can ever quiet players who don't want to be in such a situation. This league has become a point right now. I don't think you can root for teams anymore. I think you have to say, this guy's my favorite player, and I'm going to root for Kawhi in San Antonio, in Toronto, and with the Clippers. Because you know what? Teams don't stay the same anymore. The Warriors are probably the end of that, and even Kevin Durant left that team. I think what the Heat got with the Big Three for 4 years is about as long as any run is going to be for a team right now.
Well, yeah, and you kind of answered what my follow-up question was going to be there about whether the league can do anything about this. But to follow up on that, Ira, to your point, I do find this element fascinating. The people who don't like the idea of a Russell Westbrook trade for the Miami Heat say, hey, he's entering his 30s, it's a huge contract, and by the end of his deal and Jimmy Butler's deal, those guys both could be worn down. But the point you just made, I think, is the one that prevails here, is that even if that is the case, Pat Riley was able to trade Hassan Whiteside's expiring contract. Don't you think he'll be able to maneuver in 3 years' time if it does come to that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the fact is that you could take Hassan Whiteside and you could say, there's no way you're losing that $28 million on the cap. So what did the Heat do? They split it among two players. They traded him for Maurice Harkless and for Myers Leonard. They then unloaded Maurice Harkless and the Clippers in their Jimmy Butler trade. And like I said, there's a chance they get rid of Myers Leonard also. So they effectively do make Hassan Whiteside $28 million disappear. Now there's talk of, wait, Kawhi can get back in free agency in 2 years? Took a 3-year deal, 2 years player option. And people are going, wait a minute, the Heat don't have room for a max free agent then. Don't worry about 2 years down the road. If you can move Hassan Whiteside, you can move Russell Westbrook, you can move Jimmy Butler. There's always a follow-up move you can make. I use the gif of Kevin Garnett when he won the championship of nothing's impossible. That's the lesson you're learning, especially with Pat Riley, is don't worry about what can happen 2 years down the road. Because like I tweeted yesterday, the Heat had no salary cap space and got a $32 million free agent this summer. If you can make that happen, you can make anything happen.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. So let's talk about now. Let's say they do get Russell Westbrook. Where do you see this team next year in the East in the pecking order?
You see, the one thing you haven't gotten out of me to this point was whether Ira would like the trade.
I have
genuine doubts, guys, for this reason. Neither of those players, Jimmy Butler or Russell Westbrook, are three-point shooters in a three-point dominant league. So let's say you start the two of them with Bam Adebayo, who's not a shooter either. I think your floor spacing is really compromised. I don't think it works. I think Pat Riley's thought is, let me collect the stars and I'll make everything else work. And maybe he can. Maybe there are follow-up moves. But you know what, guys? Top of the conference, I'd say right now, Milwaukee. They did lose Brogdon, but they still got Giannis and Middleton and Bledsoe and Lopez. And Philadelphia, that still has Tobias Harris, added Horford, has, of course, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. I see them as a clear 1-2. I still think Boston has plenty of talent with Kemba Walker coming in, who might actually be a better fit than Kyrie Irving as being a top-three team. I think Toronto, even without Kawhi, at least for now, has the talent. I like what Indiana has done in their offseason, even losing Bogdanovich the way they brought in Brogdon. And you know what? The Nets with Kyrie, even with Durant waiting for a year, are pretty good. So you throw all those guys in the wash. I think the Heat's ultimate upside would be maybe 5 or 6 right now with Westbrook and maybe 6 or 7 without. So yes, it'll be back in the playoffs. It'll be more competitive. It'll be different, which is what the fans wanted. It'll be more fun. But this is not the ultimate Heat make a move into a championship contender.
Very interesting. Ira Winderman covers the Miami Heat for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, joining us here on 560 WQAM. All right, I want to switch gears a little bit. Last Friday night, I think a lot of NBA fans were tuning in to the Summer League matchup between Zion and R.J. Barrett, and the earthquake happens out there in Las Vegas. And I heard Mark Jones on ESPN mention your name in the aftermath of the earthquake, saying that he got some inside information from you. You were in your hotel and everything. What was the whole experience like?
So I'm on the 36th floor of my hotel, and it starts, and at first I'm like, oh, man, those neighbors, they must be in the next room, must be getting busy, because there's some banging on the headboard. And then I realize, nah, maybe not, and all of a sudden, I'm telling you, my room on the 36th floor, like, swung out over Harmon Boulevard. It was really a strange sensation, and I was trying to walk through my room, and it's literally like, wait a minute, I didn't have that much to drink tonight. I mean, it was really something. So I knew Mark was doing the game. We're friends. He lives in Weston with me. And I just texted him. I said, Jonesy, next time I'm staying at the first floor at the Hojo's. And all of a sudden, I'm watching the follow-up on that, and he goes, even my friend Ira Windermoon was terrified tonight. And I'm like, okay, now I have to carry the soft label for the rest of the week.
Well, that's what I heard. And then the best part about Ira was that he said it, and then they used that clip, like his recap with Doris Burke, on SportsCenter every hour overnight
over and
into the morning.
Over and over of terrified Ira Winderman. I must have, like, sending in a tweet, no, actually, I was just drunk. Yeah, so, yeah, that's what I got. I'm still on the 36th floor as we talk right now, so I've gotten over it. There were a few aftershocks, but I got to tell you, I have been in a bunch of earthquakes. I've been in San Francisco covering heat games. I was in L.A. pretty high in a hotel also when one struck. This was by far the strongest one I've been a part of. I mean, it really is crazy. It's like the whole room and the floor you're standing on is like one of those kids' bounce houses. It was that strong, and I guess it shows that these places are built to withstand it.
Yeah, but that is scary. I'm glad.
Nope, I'm good.
I'm glad there are no issues otherwise, Ira. We can laugh about it now. That being said, I thought the earthquake was going to take the headlines on Friday night, and then, of course, Friday into Saturday morning, depending on your time zone, we did find out about Paul George being traded. I think Kawhi's destination was going to be intriguing regardless, but the Paul George element to that seemed to truly shock everyone. What was the reaction as you're out there amongst everybody covering the NBA?
It's that nothing is the way it seems as it is in the NBA. Think about this. Paul George is traded from the Pacers to the Thunder, and everyone is like, oh, stupid move by the Thunder. He's going to leave after 1 year. He has 1 year left. They blew it. Then Paul George resigns with the Thunder, and the narrative changes to, see, a player can go somewhere and they could wind up resigning him. You're wrong about trading for a player in an expiring contract. And then a year later, Paul George wants out of there. Guys, this changes so much. It's like what I was saying about players. You think guys are content. Then you have one bad playoff run, you go out in the first round, and all of a sudden the narrative changes again. The NBA, there's no such thing anymore as an enduring narrative. This league really is existing season to season.
You're right, and that's why we're talking about the Heat or any other team. I mean, you really have to live for the moment, right, and capitalize when you have an opportunity.
Yes. And that's what Pat Riley's saying. Let me get Butler. Let me get Westbrook. And if it all goes to crap down the road, well, it might go to crap anyway. And you know what? I had a chance. I was around him. He was talking to some people. I think he's looking at 3, 4, 5 of these situations, distressed property. He's looking at Bradley Beal and what happens there in Washington. He's waiting for the next team to collapse. Because he figures this, even if I don't have a championship contender, even if I don't have the ultimate level of stars to pair a player with, I have no state income tax, I have Miami in the dead of winter, I have the nightlife and a place you want to live. So he will always have something to sell, and they asked that to Adam Silver last night at his press conference. All the players have gone to New York, California, and Florida. What about the rest of the league? And I think the advantage for Miami will always be that built-in selling point of, whether they're good or bad, they'll always be Miami.
That's for sure. And
a rich man in Miami and being young is a good time.
Yeah, not a bad place. Or
not a bad life to spend some money.
As opposed to Minneapolis in February, exactly.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm going to pass on that one. We're on yachts and boats in December.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, Ira, thanks so much, as always. Hopefully, everything is fine. No more earthquakes or any other catastrophic events. Enjoy the rest of Summer League and travel back to South Florida safely, all right?
And I'm sure the internet tomorrow will have Ira Winderman rips Tyler Hero's drip. So I'm waiting for that. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Appreciate it.
There he is, Ira Winderman, joining us here on 560 WQAM. Of course, read his work in the South Florida Sun Sentinel. You can follow him on Twitter at Ira Heatbeat. Much more to get into. We'll get to that next here on QAM. Radio.com. Radio.com. We're back here on 560 WQAM. Greg Likens and Brian Monroe in for Hawk and Crowder on this Wednesday. Hope everybody is doing well out there. Chilly Willie with us as well. Big thanks to Ira Winderman for joining us last segment. As interesting, Ira has given us all the information, the facts, the figures, what he's hearing. And then he kind of dropped a little bomb on us at the towards the end of the interview. Yeah. He's like, oh, by the way, here's my opinion on it. And I kind of just assumed maybe he would have interjected that earlier. But he said he's a little concerned about the shooting for the Miami Heat, if this is the case. And I'll just take it a step further. I know that he was describing a scenario with Justice Winslow being involved. And I think he made a really good point that Winslow has thrived when he's had the ball in his hands, when he's been in a role in which he is setting up others and then can look for a shot after that. So wouldn't make sense to have him on this team with Russell Westbrook and Jimmy Butler. You'd expect to be commanding the ball significantly. But that also reinforces the idea that you want Tyler Hero to stick around.
Yes.
Because we know that that's what he brings to the table, if nothing else, especially short-term, is he can shoot the ball. But does that concern you at all, based on Ira's description? I mean, a lineup, you starting with three guys at first in Butler, Westbrook, and Bam that aren't necessarily known to be snipers from the outside. Like, Butler is a better outside shooter statistically than Russell Westbrook. Westbrook is a capable guy, but he's not very efficient.
Yeah.
So what do you make of that dynamic?
It doesn't concern me as overall, because there's only a couple teams you're really going to need those shooters to keep up with them. Other than that, you'll be able to, you know, hang on your own and then develop your guys, you know, as they go. Like, look at the Raptors, right? So you had dudes going 0 for 16, and on the right time, they started putting it on. So at first, no. But, you know, that's like we said, that's why you got Tyler Hero there. That's your shooter. Then you got to hope that some other guys can develop a little bit more and up the percentage just a little bit more.
Yeah, and Kelly Olynyk at least seems like he'll be around.
Myers Leonard's percentage isn't bad if he sticks around.
If he sticks around. So you do have some Deion Waiters. I know fancies himself as a good shooter.
Oh, he fancies himself on that. He definitely fancies himself on that.
By the way, we do have, I don't want to oversell this because of some of the stuff I find just to be very silly. But everybody feeds into it. We do have some breaking news.
Oh, Woj bomb?
No.
Oh, no Woj bomb.
This is exactly what you told me about during last commercial break, because we got some texts about it. Somebody's bringing up Instagram and liking your picture.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it? Is this on Instagram or was it on Twitter?
It was on Instagram.
So yeah,
it was somebody named Baller Arts with a Z.
And they created an illustration.
Yep.
Of Russell Westbrook in a Heat Vice jersey, the pink Vice jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
And who of all people do you think on social media, on Instagram, liked the picture?
Could have been Russell Westbrook.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, wow.
So that's that. Now, I don't know this day and age, Brian, if we have players out there. I know there are players like this that just want to feed into a narrative, and they like kind of messing around with people.
Of course.
They're trolling to a certain degree.
Yes.
So I don't know if it's that or if it's Russell Westbrook absolutely without any regard for anything else just saying, yes, that's where I want to be. Let's get this done. The reports are true. Let's make this all work and happen. I don't know. Which side do you reside on? This could go either way. I don't think this is, in the grand scheme of things, that big of a deal. But you know how social media works. We live in the here and now. If the most recent thing is Russell Westbrook likes a picture of himself in a Heat uniform on Instagram, then this becomes a big story.
I never feed into the social media things or this person was spotted in this city, because I feel like a lot of these athletes do it for a laugh, just to see fans go nuts and how crazy they are over one thing.
Right.
So I don't ever feed into the social media. Or I think it was Paul George a couple years ago when he was down here at the Fountain Blue just hanging out. Someone took a picture and was like, oh, Paul George is here. He's coming to the Heat. I'm like, or he could just be vacationing in one of the best cities to do that in America. How about that? So it's a good laugh for me, and I love seeing the fans trip out over it.
Well, for the part you said there about Paul George, I mean, you could say that about a lot of athletes in many sports. They're here all the time.
By the way, John Wall's doing his rehab down here, and he's working out down here. Does that mean he's in a trade already and he's coming down? No. It just means we live in Miami. We have some of the best facilities to work out in. And then in your off season, all you do is work out in your off season. You go in, you might put in 2 hours, you might get stretched, you might get massages, whatever you want to say. The rest is downtime. So why not come to a city in Miami where you could do something every day, every night?
Sounds like a good idea to me.
Oh, but, it's not bad.
Yeah, we're a little biased down here.
Yeah, we are a little biased.
That's for sure.
Just a little bit biased.
Hey, this is nice. We don't always get this, but via the text line, 56022 Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, somebody says, I truly appreciate you guys, Greg and Brian. Nice job filling in for Hawk and Crowder. Good show.
Okay, well, appreciate
you.
That.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll get others that say otherwise, but that's the way this business works. Somebody else says this. This is kind of humorous. Says, hey, when Greg said, I want to switch gears with you, Ira, would have been great if he pulled a LeVar Ball and replied, you can switch gears on me anytime. Yeah, that doesn't seem to fit Ira's character too much.
Yeah, nah.
But that would have been funny, and it would have caught me off guard completely. That's for sure. Okay. Among the people who are saying that Russell Westbrook liked that picture, I think we've moved on from that. Somebody else says calling Justice Winslow a point guard is like calling some drunk at a karaoke bar a rock star. Winslow averaged 4.3 assists and he had 2.1 assist to turnover ratio. LOL. Well, here's the thing. I mean, you look at his statistics over the course of the season, that was the case. But if you look at the time in which he was the primary point guard for the Heat, which it wasn't the entire year, and so there's still question marks about whether he can sustain that. You know, for the season, he averaged 4.3 assists, but that went up when he was the primary point guard. And he isn't going to be your prototypical throwback point guard. You know, most point guards these days, and I give credit to Russell Westbrook because he's a scorer and he can distribute with the double-digit assist numbers, but most of the point guards this day and age, they're putting up points first before they're distributing, right? There's not a lot of Rondos anymore. Like, Rondo's a throwback point guard where he is the assist-first guy. Ricky Rubio's that way as well.
Yep.
And part of it is just because they can't shoot with the darn. But, like, they're the guys who come down. They're the floor generals. You throw out whatever cliches you want. But they're passing first and shooting second. The 2019 ideal version of a point guard is a guy who can pour it in from outside. He can take the ball to the basket. He can score at will. Oh, and by the way, he can also distribute the basketball.
Yeah.
That seems to be like the secondary part of what a point guard is expected. So you can knock Justice Winslow's numbers as far as the assists and all that other stuff, but we saw during that stretch when they decided to make that move that he was very effective.
Yeah.
And efficiency-wise was really good and showed that that is a role that he can thrive in if he is given that long term. But another texter brought up earlier, which I think is a good point, Justice Winslow has had a history of injuries, so we don't know, you know, if he can be durable enough to be ready to go. This past season was a bit of an exception, but, you know, there's tons of questions. I guess my point is this, like, getting back to the overall theme of what we've discussed so far, Brian, is that if Justice Winslow or Tyler Hero or Bam Adebayo, yes, you'd love to have them, but if they're the ones holding up this trade, then there's something wrong.
Yeah.
That everybody has bought in to this echo chamber of Heat fans, the narrative, because the narrative has been, oh, well, what do we have to look forward to? What are the pieces that provide hope? Well, it's these young players, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then when you take a step back from that, it's like, yeah, the young players, those are nice, but they're not attracting big name free agents necessarily. Jimmy Butler may be an exception. But he's also coming here because Pat Riley sold him on a plan that we're going to add other stars, and you'll be the first piece of the puzzle. And you're going to be the guy that attracts everybody. But the other part of this is those other young guys, you look at what they could be on a championship level team. And, you know, we talked about that earlier. So, again, everybody who's bringing up Justice or Bam or Tyler Hero, that should not, their presence in a trade should not prevent Pat Riley or any Heat fans from justifying going after Russell Westbrook.
I agree 100%.
So with that being said, well, I want to switch gears a little bit, Brian, because we have talked a lot about Russell Westbrook. We will continue to do so. If we have any other news or anything else that pops up about him, we will certainly pass that along. But when we come back, we have some news about a former Canes star in the NFL and what he is doing, as it's been a bit of a rocky offseason for him. We'll tell you about that when we come back here on 560 WQAM.
It's summer. Before you know it, football season will be here. No station in South Florida. Radio.com. Radio.com.
We're back back here on 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Brian Monroe in for a couple of good men. Hawk and Crowder. Chili Willie's a good man. You telling me he got out of the hospital to come here? My goodness.
Dedication.
That is like the underrated story of the year so far. But we're trying to at least put some voice to it, get him a little credit. By the way, if you want to join the show, you can via the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 560-22. 560-22 is how you reach us. Brian, I always like talking Canes when you're around as a former Hurricane. Although I say that you're a former Hurricanes player, but everybody's still, you're never not a Hurricane, right?
No, never.
So I always need to be careful on that because they say a former Hurricane, and you say it quickly like that, it's like, well, what happened? Did you end your affiliation? No, you're a former Hurricanes player, but you're always a Hurricane, to be sure. You got a Canes shirt on and hat on, right?
I had Dime Life, baby.
You were ready to go.
Another Canes, there DJ Williams Company.
Yeah, DJ Williams. Did I tell you, DJ Williams, I've told you this off the air, but DJ Williams and I were doing Dolphins pregame shows together a couple of years ago, and middle of the season, he's like, hey, man, I'm out. Dime Life's taking off. This was like 2 seasons ago.
So in the middle, he was, I'm done.
Yeah, when the Canes got off to like the 10-0 start.
Yeah.
And, you know, they beat Notre Dame and all that. And he's like, hey, yeah, man, Dime Life's taking up too much of my time. So
yeah, I mean, that season blew him up. Like, my goodness, it was sales everywhere. And I remember when he first released the first turnover chain shirt.
Yes.
And we obviously got a copy first to rock, you know, posts and stuff like that. And we'd wear it to the games, and you'd have old ladies come up to you. Oh, my God, where'd you get that shirt? I want to get it from my husband. And then all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, you have these little old ladies wearing turnover chains and stuff like that. I was like, this is awesome. This is what I like to see.
Now, I absolutely, I wouldn't say I conned him, but I kind of conned him because I was like, oh, man, the turnover chain shirt. Like, everybody likes the turnover chain
everybody.
Shirt. And I was like, that'd be cool to get a turnover chain shirt. But he and I did a little bet on the year because, you know, Syracuse was coming to town to play University of Miami. And so, you know, my alma mater, his, that we do, you know, fun bet. And so the deal was that if Miami won, then I'd have to wear a Canes shirt for one of our broadcasts. We posted on social media, all this other stuff. And then if Syracuse pulled off the upset, then the other way around. So, of course, you know, the Syracuse gave him a decent game.
I was going to say, it was a tough game.
It was. I was proud of the effort. But they came down to South Florida. They lose. And so then it was actually just a great way for me to get my hands on a turnover
chain. There you go.
So I put it on. We take some pictures, all this stuff. And I was like, hey, do you need it back? You know, kind of thing. He goes, no, you keep it. So I still have the turnover chain.
There
shirt.
You go.
So, you know, I got a little cane swag that I can rock every once in a while to be sure I can fit in if I head over to Hard Rock for a game and all that stuff. So, yeah. So I got a little Dime Life as well in my closet. Not as much as you, to be sure.
I always got to support the fam. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
Always
got to
support the fam.
Well, another guy that Canes fans like to support is in the news today, and Duke Johnson. He's had a bit of a tumultuous offseason, not in a really bad way, but because of his contract situation and his standing there with the Cleveland Browns. So, according to his agent, or former agent, Kristen Campbell, she confirmed she is no longer representing him. She wrote in a text message to ESPN, quote, I'm very proud that we were able to secure him a lucrative contract extension during our time. We wish him the best, end quote. So he is seeking a trade, but he has parted ways with his agent. He attended mandatory Browns workouts during the offseason, and he said in June that there is nothing the team can do to change his mind about wanting a trade. In 2018, so a year ago in June, he did sign the extension that she mentioned, 3 years, $15.6 million with the Browns, and he's under contract through the 2021 season. But as many know, Nick Chubb emerged last year. Kareem Hunt was signed in the offseason, even though he's going to miss the first half of the year. But you take a look at his scenario, he has been steadfast that he doesn't want to be there anymore. And what I found interesting about this is that, you know, Kristen Campbell, you hear that name, maybe that doesn't mean much, but she is the wife of Luther Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
And Uncle Luke was very vocal when Duke Johnson came out and reiterated he wanted to be traded. Then Baker Mayfield responded and said, basically, hey, if you're not with us, you're against us, like, get on the train or get off the train, words to those effect. And Luther Campbell came out strongly admonishing Baker Mayfield for those comments, which, you know, we could get into the locker room dynamics and all of that anyway, but I thought that was fascinating.
He made an apology to his team.
But then Uncle Luke came out strongly, I think, kind of to help his wife out, and now this relationship has ended.
Well, it's you know, Uncle Luke's always going to come out for the Miami kids. especially since he's probably been around Duke since he was in Pop Warner. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's coached him or not, but he's always going to go strong for the Miami kids. That's one thing he will. But Luke knows this, you know, this is a business. His wife is going to get clients, get fired. It's going to happen multiple times. If you're in this business long enough, guys have 2-3 agents sometimes. It's very rare that you see nowadays in football somebody having one agent their whole career for the new guys.
Right.
Because I feel like they want more. You know, it's like, oh, well, I could have got this. Well, you should have got me that. Well, no, this is what the market is. And this is, you know, this is what you're going to get. The thing for him that it sucks is that the running back position isn't as valuable as it used to be and hasn't looked upon the same. You saw Todd Gurley get the massive, I believe it was $45 million guaranteed.
Somewhere around
there, right? Yeah. And then Le'Veon Bell just got, what was it, 28, 35?
Yeah.
He didn't get the Todd Gurley money.
No, he didn't. It was, I think we can all say, based on the fact he sat out a full season, it was a little disappointing.
Yes.
The total of guaranteed money. Yeah.
And the thing that's going against Duke is that, you know, there isn't a real team out there that just one running back, he's our bell cow, you're going to be the guy. No, we're going to use 2-3 guys. We're going to rotate you. Duke's like a third down guy. He can catch out the backfield. Shoot, he's played more slot receiver than anything for them. And right now you bring in OBJ, you ain't going to be playing too much slot anymore. So right. Your carries are going to diminish. And I can understand why he's mad. Only problem is football isn't like basketball. Basketball guys can demand to get out of there. And they'll say, okay, you know what? We need to trade him because he's no. This is football. Oh, you mad? Then go ahead, sit on the bench. You ain't going to dress. You're not going to be active. And that's going to trigger little things in his contract where he's not going to make money.
Right, any incentives.
He's going to have to be active for X amount of games. Yeah. He's going to probably in his contract have to catch X amount of balls, X amount of carries. So if he's sitting or he's not active, he's losing a lot of money. So it sucks in that aspect. But, you know, for his agent, this is going to happen. It's going to happen again to her sometime down the road. Uncle Luke probably understands and respects that, you know, my wife is an agent. She's going to lose and get some guys. And Duke's got to say, hey, you can demand all you want. This is football. This isn't basketball. You're going to be there. Because their coach already came out multiple times and said, I really don't care what he wants. He's a Cleveland Brown and he's going to play in this team. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, that's football for you. That's the NFL business. You know, it's cutthroat. Like, they'll tell you one year, oh, we love this dude, whatever. And the next year, hey, by the way, we're cutting you. Yeah, but I'm a 5-time Pro Bowl. No, yeah, you're out.
Yeah.
You know?
It's amazing, right? And I think it's magnified this time of the year where a story like this pops up. This is the topic of conversation where he's a bit disgruntled. He'd like to be somewhere else. And you contrast that with what's going on in the NBA. And in the NBA, I mean, Adam Silver had to come out yesterday at his press conference and say, yeah, it's a little disheartening that everybody's asking for trades and it's happening and everybody's moving around, all this stuff. But the NBA, the players have absolutely all the power, no questions asked. If that was ever in doubt, you can certainly put those doubts to rest based on what's happened just within the last week. And with that being said, you know, the only way we see this happen in the NFL is, you know, the rare times that an Antonio Brown does it and gets his way out of town. Certainly, maybe a quarterback could do it. I feel like quarterbacks are the only ones who have the proper amount of gravitas in the NFL to compare him to like an NBA superstar. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it's rare. And even with Antonio Brown, it's like he had to create an absolute mess there for them to say, okay, we want to move on. And Odell Beckham Jr., to our knowledge, didn't request a trade, but he just ended up being traded. Antonio Brown was the one who kind of forced his way out of town. Le'Veon Bell decided, I'm just going to sit out for a year to get my way. But they have to go to extremes to do that.
Yeah, like how many people are going to sit out and say, yeah, $17 million, don't worry about it.
Right. And so those are like the top echelon guys. Duke Johnson, a very nice player in the NFL, but, you know, as evidenced by his contract. I mean, I'm not scoffing at over $5 million a year. Trust me. That sounds great to me.
It sounds amazing.
But a 3-year, $15.6 million deal in the grand scheme of sports these days isn't a huge contract.
No, he's a guy.
And so he's got to just go with it. It's so different. The NFL players have to go with the flow. They have to buy into the system. They really don't have a voice unless you're the elite of the elite and at a certain position.
Yeah, and I mean, again, look at his depth chart with Kareem Hunt coming there. What is he, the third best running back on their team? How many times you really hear of a third best running back chirping and actually getting his way.
Right.
It's not going to happen. And it sucks. It sucks because in football, you're making these coaches, these guys, all this money, yet you can't really have a voice when it comes to playing time and wanting to play here and move here because you're not happy with this or this coach isn't using you because they hold all the pieces to the cards. But with the CBA coming up, can they change anything? Can they have some more demands? Can they have some more voice? I don't know, because the problem is that most of the time the people that have on these teams have the voice are the quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the quarterbacks are just happy. Okay, well, I'm making millions of dollars or winning and I don't want to get involved. And that's the problem. In the NBA, the elite of the elite are the ones with the voice and they're the ones stepping forward when it comes to anything. Contracts, social issues, whatever it is, they step up and they have their voice. In the NFL, the elites of the elites, most times are like, I'm not getting involved in that. I'm just going to go ahead and just keep my $30 million, just keep on playing.
Right. And for the most part, I think fans, I don't want to say fans are brainwashed, but fans buy into that culture that the NFL has created where, you know, a quarterback does have the flexibility and the wherewithal and the leniency, I'd say, from the team's perspective, especially if you're a really good quarterback, to speak your mind on issues, to your point. But you're right. A lot of them are like, hey, that's not really my role. My role is to be a good team player, to be a leader, not create waves. And, you know, we buy into that. We're like, hey, the quarterback's not supposed to create distractions, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody seems to buy into that culture of football. And it's funny how that's the way – not everybody, but a lot of people go with the flow there. But then in the NBA, it's completely the opposite. And we're like, yeah, we like the guys to have personalities and to show us what they feel about social issues and all these other things.
Well, some people like that when they show their social
issues. I feel like there's more leniency from basketball, not everybody, but not from basketball fans, too, compared to the NFL fans.
That's because African Americans dominate basketball sports or ethnicities dominate basketball, so your basketball fan is normally used to that. Mm-hmm. But in football, white quarterbacks normally dominate that position and normally have the voice because they're the highest paid, they're the biggest name, they get all the commercials. So when it comes to certain issues, they're like, "Yeah, I'm good, I'm cool, I'm here for my team, and we're gonna go out and win." Okay, well. Are you standing with them arm in arm? Or are you with them for their what they want to preach upon? Or are you just, in the media, I'm with my team and call it a day.
Yeah.
That's the reason it's different, to my opinion, is the fans accepting their team, their players, speaking out or demanding certain things in their sport. Money trades a whole nine yards. It's the fans that like NBA are more accustomed to having a more rounded leaders, ethnicity, however you want to say. Well, in the NFL, it's you look at it and you think, okay, well, Tom Brady, we said it earlier, Tom Brady can go ahead and curse out a coach and no big deal. Cam Newton does something, it's like, he's immature, he's this, he's that. Well, what's the difference? I don't want to say nothing because, I'm going to get lit up, but again, I'm not taking any sides because obviously I'm mixed and biracial, but it's the truth. It is the truth. Like, what's so funny? I was doing, we were doing a show coming into the draft. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the Giants, quarterback play. And everyone was like, well, why is his name going? Quarterback Ohio State, Dwayne Haskins.
Dwayne Haskins. Right.
We all knew Dwayne Haskins was better than
Daniel Jones.
Yep. We all knew that. Watching film, you could just say, I've watched Duke plenty of times play the Canes. Yeah. He did not jump off as a top 10 player. He doesn't make all the throws. The best thing people could talk about him was his running ability.
Yeah, you don't have to be a football savant to know that.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, I have multiple people that I know that played for the Giants organization, and I know multiple people that have worked in the Giants organization. And multiple people said they will not take Dwayne Haskins. I was like, what are you talking about? He's a better quarterback. They're not taking a black quarterback. They're not. Straight up, that franchise is not taking a black quarterback. And I was like, oh, okay, that's a little racist. But, he goes, okay, how many black quarterbacks have started for the Giants history games,
I do.
Chili Willie,
No, I don't know.
One. One start in history.
South Florida guy, too.
South Florida guy.
Geno
Miramar.
Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I didn't know that. And then people are like, oh, it's not this and it's not that. And I go, are you kidding? Come on, man. And that's just reality in the NFL.
Yeah, it's such a contrast to the NBA. And I do wonder over time if they can maintain kind of the way things have always been in the NFL compared to what the NBA is doing. I also wonder for both these sports, with the money keep going up and the salaries keep going up, if that's sustainable as well. But we got to take a break,
yep.
Brian. We're going to come back. We'll kick off the 4 o'clock hour. We can continue this conversation. We've got some text rolling in here. Plus, not everyone in L.A. is excited that Kawhi Leonard is coming to town. We'll explain that as well. Stay tuned here on QAM.
Hurricanes fans, counting down the days on August 24th. Radio.com.